The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the latest edition of Run and Plays. Our special guest is Glenn Robinson III. He is our dub of the day. Yeah. We're doing this podcast during the middle of the holiday season, celebrating Thanksgiving, celebrating whatever happy holiday you celebrate. So I wanted to know, what are some of the holiday traditions in your family?
I think the biggest tradition that we do is it's like a giveaway, like a gifting thing. And everybody has to write down on a piece of paper your name and then a $50 gift. And then we come back at Christmas and, you know, we draw the names out the hat at Thanksgiving and Christmas. We all give it to each other, but no one knows whose name you got. You know, You got to keep it under $50. So I usually put like, I don't even remember what I used to put. I try to put something like, my mom is always doing like hoop earrings and stuff. So we kind of start to know like the trend of family members.
Okay, so it's like a secret Santa.
Yeah, like that, yes. Yeah.
Do you recall one of the best things you've ever gotten for Christmas? Do you celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, I celebrate
Christmas. One of the best things you've gotten for Christmas?
One of the best things I've gotten, probably my brother and I remember we snuck up under the Christmas tree and tried to open up and see if it was one of the PlayStations that came out. And it actually ended up being an Xbox, actually.
Nice.
My mom messed up and got the wrong one. But that was one of the best gifts.
Were you one of those guys that got that looked for the heaviness in a gift, or did you kind of see, what would constitute a good gift if you were stealing wrapping paper?
Everything. We shaking it, heaviness, whatever, you know, the shape, whatever we can try to guess it with.
Real tree or fake tree for your family?
We had a fake tree, but my mom like took pride in making us do it all. Me and my brother and I, and the tree was like, I forget how tall, but it was huge. So she went out and got the biggest tree, so we would have to do all the work.
You have a daughter, Ariana.
I do.
What kind of traditions do you want to start with her?
I think just continuing on a family traditions, things like the gifting will be cool. But kind of doing something of our own, try to make it a yearly thing so we could try to come back every year and see what's changed and things like that. So I have to think on that, and hopefully this Christmas I'll get a chance to spend some time with her and we can try to start that tradition. Yeah.
That's nice.
Now, how big has family been for you, you know, kind of growing
up?
You know, we obviously know your namesake is someone of Glenn Robinson Jr. How has family kind of been with you growing up?
It's been great. I think that obviously your family is always key, always the foundation of everything and what holds everything together. You know, my dad, obviously being the number one pick, having years in the NBA as well. It's pretty cool to see now me being in the league. You know, how did he spend his holidays, or, you know, maybe sometimes when he couldn't make it, like today we play in Miami, tomorrow on Thanksgiving, you know, things that I didn't understand growing up. But my mom and my grandma held it down. Growing up, my brother and my cousin, I think we've got a close-knit family that we can always talk and always, we love spending the holidays together.
Are you pretty different from your dad?
Yeah, I'm pretty different. I would say so. My dad's probably extrovert. I'm more of an introvert, kind of chill, laid back person. Obviously on the court too, we're very different, people say. So a lot of people say you couldn't play defense. So yeah, I would say we're different.
Because what is it like when you are Glenn Robinson III, you are your own man, but you also carry your father's name and then you carry your grandfather's name. Mm-hmm. What is that like to have that passed down?
It's pretty cool. You know, I think that It's very unique. You know, a lot of people obviously take pride in it, having the same name. I know I do, but If a son comes for me one day, I don't think I'll make him the fourth. I think I'm gonna stop it at three.
Was there an inherent pressure just coming from that, having, knowing how good he was?
Yeah.
Was there an inherent pressure for you whenever you played basketball? Was it hard from the moment you played?
Growing up, it was like, when I was younger, you know, I didn't really like having the same name as him, just because people automatically just assume my dad, or people assume what he did, and, you know, I had to match that or whatever. But as I started to get older, about high school, going into college, I started to love the fact that I had the same name as him. It helped me out, you know, it helped me get more looks from colleges, and even to this day, you know, people still remember my dad, so especially in the league, so it's cool to get that opportunity. But I think that it's great that I can separate myself, and, you know, he was the number one pick. He didn't have to go through, you know, I've gotten cut. I've had to just deal with a lot in my career. So kind of face my own adversities and make a name for myself.
How was it at actually growing up? Because as you're knowing now, you know, with a daughter, it's hard to be there every single day. Mm-hmm. How was it for you, you know, growing up in that life where, yeah, you know, your dad's putting food on the table, but he's just not yeah, physically there because he's working?
Yeah, I think that it's just a unique situation in what we do. You know, I think playing and working in the NBA, it's different scheduling. You know, it's things that maybe people don't understand, you know, and growing up, I didn't understand it. You know, the travel schedule is crazy. It's 82 games plus. It's a time commitment that's not like anything else. You know, we just got off the plane, Thanksgiving, we go lift, we eat, we got to get ready for tomorrow. So it's a unique scheduling, but I think you really have to be involved or be around to understand it. And now that I'm here, I can get it a little bit more. So
what are the unintended consequences that come with that? Like, how do you feel resentment when you're going through that? Or how are you reconciling that as a kid?
Yeah, I think obviously it's easy to have some resentment growing up. You know, it's easy to get frustrated because you don't understand, you're not there. But I think, you know, being in it now, it just makes me want to spend my time with my daughter when I can, when I'm done playing. Make it the best Christmas, Thanksgiving, have those family traditions, do the most that I can, you know, for my daughter when, you know, my time is up in the league, and because I miss so many birthdays, you know, holidays and everything, so.
Just reading about your dad, his nickname was Big Dog, he had some bite, he had some bark, and then interacting with you, there's a gentler quality to this. Like, I was thinking that if anyone captures to me, don't mistake my kindness for weakness, it's with you, as we've been getting to know you. What do you think about your demeanor and existing in this league? Because there's a toughness to you, but it's a lot more quiet.
Yeah, I think I've always had the ability to kind of turn it on and off, like on the court. You know, I can flip that switch and do what I need to do on the court and off the court. I'm just real super chill, mellow. You know, everybody on the team knows that I don't say too much, but they could also tell you that ain't nobody gonna mess with me on the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the same time, so I think I have that respect level from everybody, and that's kind of the way that I've been, you know, about my life and my career. But I like how I can turn it on and off, because, you know, the real me, the other side of me that people don't see is, you know, the nice, kind, just genuine person, you know, and I like genuine people. And I learned at a young age, I mean, be consistent with whatever that you are, you know, so teammates, everybody, I just like consistency, you know, if you're a tough guy off the court, you know, be that consistently every day, you know. So, you know, I think that's just who I am.
Do you think that, like, I guess throughout your career, because we've talked about, you know, your past stops and things like that, do you think that sometimes that your calm demeanor, at least from the outside looking in, do you think that's ever been used against you just because people don't, they see your father as this, you know, big guy, and they see you as what you are?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my whole career up until this point, that's how I've been viewed. You know, I've been viewed as privileged, as, you know, dad being number one pick, and it came easy for me. But I mean, first off, people don't understand that Purdue didn't offer me a scholarship. So that's why I didn't go to Purdue. They didn't think I was good enough to go there. And then I think the other biggest thing is my dad, I grew up with my mom and my grandma. You know, my dad was, he lived in Atlanta most of my life and still does. And I would see him sometimes in the summer, but I grew up with my mom and my grandma, you know. So coaches in this league from in college, I mean, they've held that against me, you know, a lot, you know, and I've had to deal with that. And how do I kind of overcome that and still make my own name and remain focused and calm through that, you know, because it could get frustrating, you know, when people just think that it comes easy or I haven't given chances because they think that, you know, it's just been so easy for me or just my demeanor. They think that I'm not trying, you know, they think that sometimes things come easy to me and that's why I look so laid back or relaxed on the court. And I've had people tell me that they don't think I'm trying that hard, you know, so it's kind of funny to me, you know, but when you get around an organization who really knows the game and knows the style of basketball that they want, you know, I think that that's what coach sees.
What's that like? You just spoke on it. Your dad was in Atlanta and you were in Indiana. How does that work for you? How do you feel like, you know, that affected you? Because, you know, you're his namesake mm-hmm. and you are not seeing him every day. And when you do, it's like you said, in the summertime. How was that for you growing up?
Yeah, it was cool. It wasn't too bad. You know, I think that luckily I had my mom, my grandma guiding my brother and I throughout our whole life. And I'm very fortunate for that. And I think that, you know, mothers are the strongest, women are the strongest people on the earth. We all know that. But I think that, you know, I really got closer to my dad as I've gotten older and just made more of a connection with him and kind of opened up my mind to understand a lot of things. So I don't really hold too much resentment or regret. I think that it could be easy to do that. I did at a point. But, you know, I think that growing up in a household, like I said, I was just lucky to have my mom and my grandma.
You said Purdue didn't offer you mm-hmm. a scholarship. So yeah. What was your recruitment like? How did you land on Michigan?
Yeah. So it's funny. I actually, in high school, in middle school and then high school, I played football and basketball. My mom always said I was better at football than I was basketball. I was a receiver.
Receiver,
yeah.
I played too.
What position?
Quarterback.
Oh, okay. I swear I was Odell before he came and started doing the one-handed catches. I was doing that. but she used to say that. And so I was always athletic. Like, I couldn't dunk till my sophomore year in high school. But I was fairly athletic, and I would just get by like that. I couldn't shoot. I used to shoot with two hands. So I started waking up in my freshman year in high school at 5:30 every morning and getting up 1,000 shots every day. And my high school coach would honk his horn outside my door at 5:15. My mom would be yelling at me to wake up, like, get in that car so she can go back to sleep. and by the time my sophomore year came and I got my license, I was beating my coach to the gym. And it was around my time, the sophomore year, where I got my first offer from Valparaiso University. And then it was just a couple smaller schools. I was getting letters. And Michigan came in into my sophomore junior year, and I went on a couple visits there, and I ended up committing. But there was always small interest from Purdue, IU, but nothing at all where they really seen something in me to offer me or really wanted me to be there. And it's funny because I talked to Matt Painter, Purdue's coach, and a lot of the coaches that didn't offer me, you know, a couple years after, and they apologized for it. Yeah. So,
when you go to that, my question would be, and it's kind of weird to ask it this way, but I'm asking, what made you work so hard? Because was, you know, you're getting up at 5 a.m. and you're beating your coach and you have mm-hmm. your license. Is it maybe, you know, an insecurity, maybe a fear of, I don't want to be a nothing? Or what is the motivation behind, I want to work harder than the next person?
I've always wanted to play professionally. I wanted to play professional basketball in the NBA. That's been a dream of mine since I was little. I would stay out all the time outside, like just shooting and everything. But I think when it really clicked for me my freshman year, it was just the fact that I just kind of had that will. I had that drive that I knew that I was going to do this. But what's funny is once I got the offer and I went to Michigan my freshman year, I ended up starting on a team, but I wasn't really thinking about the NBA. I was just, my mind was so on me, like, yo, you go get a scholarship, like you need to go get your grades in your school. I'm not paying for college. So I'm like, all right, I need to, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is how I need to go get my scholarship. Like, I just need to wake up every day and do this because I didn't want my mom paying for school, you know? And I've always been the type of kid, and even my brother, we knew what our dad did, but we didn't ever want to depend on him or use that as our way to go to college. You know, we're blessed enough that he probably would have did it if we couldn't have a scholarship. But it was always in my mind, like just hearing my mom, like you need to go get this scholarship. So,
did you ever feel like an NBA player, son?
I think I didn't. I wasn't in the house. I didn't grow up in the house with my dad. So I did, but I didn't at the same time, and which I'm grateful for because I had the chance to see during the summers, and sometimes when I would go visit him, I remember going to Milwaukee Bucks practice and Ray Allen, Sam Cassell. Seeing all those guys, I was in the car. I probably shouldn't say this, but my dad had me on his lap when I was young, and I look over and we were racing Ray Allen. I don't even remember how old I was. We were racing Ray Allen and Sam Cassell after practice. But it was one of the funniest moments of like my childhood, and I still remember that. But I've seen the cars, I've seen the lifestyle, I've seen the clothes, the jewelry. I remember being on a flight and a round table, and that was the first time I seen guys gambling on a plane, you know. So I seen all of that at a young age, which I'm fortunate and I'm happy for, because I grew up not really wanting those things, as maybe you see some young guys in the league think that that's the first thing that they gotta go get. I tried to save, you know, my first couple checks as much as I could.
So you didn't do no student purchases?
Oh yeah, no, I bought like some jewelry. It wasn't like crazy, it wasn't nothing like crazy.
When I mean crazy, I mean something that...
You don't have a Lamborghini somewhere.
Nah.
It was something that you were like, I didn't really need this. Like, I shouldn't...
Not really. The only thing, I'm into fashion, so I bought some clothes and some shoes to where I was like maybe I went a little overboard, you know what I'm saying? But like, never anything where I feel like I went just completely out of control and I shouldn't have done it, you know? Like. Mm-hmm. So I'm fortunate to grow up like that, to where I seen enough to where I was like, you know, this isn't what everything is about, you know, and I still kind of hold that now in my career.
That sounds valuable, to get a taste of the league without maybe having to go through some of the pitfalls mm-hmm. yourself. Yeah. What do you want now in your career?
I think obviously everybody's goal is to generate enough wealth to take care of their families, their kids. And I think that is, with this being a business, you know, I've been to several teams and I've been around the league long enough to understand that it is a business. That is a goal of mine, is to create something where my daughter, just like me, she won't have to worry. If I want her to get a scholarship, academic, sports, whatever. But she, knowing that she won't have to worry, kind of puts your mind at ease. But now I think for me, it's just continue to get better and win a championship. I think that a lot of people don't really understand how hard that is, you know, and I've been in the league 6 years now, been around some championship quality players and seen how much that it takes, how much the hard work and dedication, but it all pays off, you know, in the end. I think that that's definitely something that I want, and I want to say that I did. You know, I've held my dad's ring that he won with the Spurs his last year. So I've got an opportunity to see that, and it's awesome, you know. And I think that, for, you know, he got his middle finger sized up. But like, that's something that no one can take away from you. That's something that he talks about, I'm sure, every day, you know, remembers every day, that team.
And you're in a good situation with the Warriors right now. You're starting. You praised the way that Steve Kerr recognizes you, I suppose, recognizes what your game is. Why do you feel like this has been such a great environment?
I think the league is about opportunity, and it's about people who believe in you. You know, and Coach believes in me. He hasn't once, you know, said anything negative about my game. I think that it's just a great opportunity for me, and the organization just fits my style of play. And I've always wanted to come here and play for the Warriors, and I never really. Like, I had a couple texts with Draymond, and we were kind of, you know, I talked about it a little bit, and a in the last free agencies that I've
had.
He did.
Then you went to Detroit.
And he was honest, and he was like, hey, like, look, you come, we're going to need you in the regular season. We got Andre coming in the game, so you'll probably play a lot of regular season minutes, but down the playoff stretch, you got to know he's going to get them minutes, but we need you, you know, and he was straight up with it, and that's, from the minute I heard that, I respected him so much. But, you know, I did go to Detroit, and it was a situation in free agency where I had 25 teams contacting me 2 years ago, and then I get into last free agency last year, and I got two, basically. It came down to just Houston and here, you know. So I jumped at the opportunity to come here because for the first time, it really was surreal. It was, like, real in my eyes that I was like, this is perfect. This is what I wanted. You know, no one wants to be on a minimum, but I know this could potentially set up my career.
I know people, like, and I talk around the locker room, and everybody, all the new guys talk about the fit with Golden State and how the culture is totally different than any other team they've been on. How much is that important to a player? Because I think everybody sees from the outside that, you know, we talked about this, I think, last week, where everybody just says, oh, he didn't play well.
Right, yeah.
But they don't take into account the environment that person is in. How much is the environment conducive to how a player plays or doesn't play well?
It's everything from it sounds funny, but from weather to lighting in the gym to, you know, the positive energy that's around every day to the chefs and at the practice facility, the way that we eat, the quality of the food. I haven't been on a team where it's this top notch from head to toe. I mean, we come in the locker room, obviously everyone sees the TVs and things like that, but we got the nap room, like the sleep room. We got the ice tubs, cold tubs. I mean, like, it makes you want to come to work every day. It makes you want to play as hard as I could possibly play for Steve every single night because of the way the freedom that he gives us, the attention to detail, but also, like, he'll ask me, like, what do you think about this play? Or which side do you feel comfortable on? Or, you know, like, we have an actual role and an actual play in all of this, you know, and I think that that's what separates the Warriors organization from any other team that I've been on is, like, we actually matter, you know? It sounds funny, but we matter.
It sounds like you're saying this is the most maybe at peace or at ease, not comfortable, like you're going to just kind of coast,
right,
but, like, that you felt, like, the happiest in your career?
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, because sometimes guys are in places where they're making money, but they're not happy, you know, and if you're not happy, you can't play well, you
know. That was you last year. Yeah.
That was me last year, and, you know, and it's, like I said, it's about opportunity, but at the same time, and I think that that's in life, and that's what I try to keep in perspective, is that money won't make you happy, you know, and I've seen that from multiple players, multiple businessmen. I've seen it, you know, and money isn't the key to happiness. And I think that when you have all the other pieces that surround it, I mean, the fact that we're filming this, the fact that I've gotten help from my foundation, from the Warriors, is like no one else, no other organization is doing that. And that's, I'm just being honest.
What was the other side of that for you? What was that low point where you were like, I don't know what's going to happen? Was it was it this summer?
I wouldn't say. I really didn't feel like I don't know what's gonna happen, but I was more so like, what's going on, you know? So it was like, I was free agent, and, you know, Casey and the Pistons signed me to the 2-year deal there, 2-year, $8 million, and I'm feeling great, and I meet them at Summer League, and things are great, and then I get there, and they're not gonna start me. I'm fine with that. Then I didn't really play, you know? I took 30 plus DMPs probably last year, you know, and I just didn't understand it. Then why would you go get me, or why would I waste my opportunity? I'm 24 years old at the time, you know, so why would I waste a year of my youth of some of the best basketball that I could potentially be playing like that? So I think it was just more so like, what's going on? What do I need to do now to get myself into a better situation so my career can go back on the rise?
Well, what made you choose them initially? Because you said you had 25.
Yeah, it was, well, Casey obviously won Coach of the Year. And coming off of that, you know, he got the Detroit job. And, you know, I lit up at that fact that, you know, I had a chance to play with him. I seen some of the things that he was doing in Toronto, especially with the wings. I think Wright and Van Fleet and somebody else coming up at that time where I was like, man, like, he's Norman Powell, where I'm like, man, like, he's letting these wings, like, kind of do their thing. And I was watching the offense. It seemed to be a lot of movement. And, you know, I was just excited. It was also close to Indiana as well. So I'm like, I'm not going too far away. I went to Michigan, so that connection, Michigan-Detroit right there, was something that interests me. But it was just more of a disappointment once I got there, is those high expectations. And that's okay because, you know, that's life. And I can't be, the thing that I'm most happy about the situation is that I made the decision for myself. Because I've been in positions where your agent might make the decision for you, or your business manager, or your mom, and you're not okay with that if someone else is making that decision. And that's also what I learned, is when you make that decision and you commit to whatever that you've done, you can't be mad at anybody else but yourself. You know, you got to take it on the chin because you did it. So
knowing what you went through then, it's really rewarding to hear that you're happy now. Mm-hmm. And yeah. As you look at the people around you, as you look at the culture of the Warriors, as you look at this roster, what do you think this season will be like, the rest of the season and then into next year too?
I think it's gonna be all, for all of us that's new here, it's gonna be key for our careers to be able to take as much knowledge and learn as much as we can this year, no matter what happens. I think that we got it down, like, we're gonna play hard every night because we have to. That's how we gotta stay in games. Is mm-hmm. We're young, we might not know the most, we're new to the system, but we gotta play hard. And I think we got that. But as much as we can continue to learn, make it easier for ourselves, you know, we've seen a couple games ago, 4 or 5 minutes down a stretch, how do we close out? We need to watch film, continue to learn how to close out games. So that way we're all comfortable when Steph, Clay, Dre, everybody's coming back, we're all comfortable and on the same page, and they can trust us as well. You know, I think that a thing in this league too is trust. You know, I think that if the guys see you working as hard as you can, thinking out things as much as you can, plays, et cetera, like, that's what creates that trust. That's what creates championship teams.
What is it about Steve that makes you guys buy in? Because you guys are statistically, you guys are the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Like, with record-wise. But you guys play as hard as I've seen, you know, covering. What about this staff and this situation makes you buy in despite the fact that you guys are losing so much?
I think, one, it's early. I think, two, we got everybody on our team is playing for something. And more than just pride, I think pride is the number one thing, but we're all playing for something. We all want to show that we belong. And I think that what's key for us is we are going to need to win some games. Otherwise, I've seen teams where, you know, you could say that I'm having a decent season this year. It's not going to mean anything if we don't win a couple more games. You know what I'm saying? So I've seen teams like that, the Suns in past years, where, you know, people might have said that, oh, Devin Booker wasn't doing as much because they didn't win. You know, so I think that we obviously are going to have to start winning some games, and we know that. But I think the thing about Steve is just how much that he actually does believe in us, and how easy that he makes it for us. You know, he's a player's coach. I mean, he's not. When we go to practice, you know, he wants to know how our bodies feel, so we're not overdoing it. And I think that is another thing, is I've been on teams where they hammer it. It's strict, and it's hard, it's tough every day, and mentally, physically. But also, you know, I try to tell the young guys too, is like, you guys have a unique situation of being here with the Warriors. Your rookie year, your second year, it's not like every other team in the league. So you gotta really commit to this and try to stay here basically as long as you can, because every other team is not like here, you know, and those guys probably wouldn't like how the rest of the league is, you know?
Your perspective is so awesome to hear, like, rewarding, like, your views on life and your career. And actually, as I look at you, I see your daughter's name on your sweatshirt, mm-hmm. Ari. Yeah. And you have a foundation named after her. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yep. So Ari, Angels Are Real Indeed is the name of the foundation. And I've been going for about 2 months now. I started it just because, being a father, I know how important, you know, that fatherhood piece is to me and is to a child. And, you know, I think that I just want to continue to, it's who I am, but I want to continue to help families who are fatherless, and then just empowering fathers to be the best that we can be. You know, I'm going to do everything I can, like on holidays and Thanksgiving, Christmas. But what I really want to focus on is in between those, having like speaking panels, and even if it's a podcast, something like this, where I'm talking to actual fathers and trying to help them. You know, little things like putting a car seat in, like doing a video instruction and explaining that. Like the first time I had to put a car seat in, like I was sweating, I was frustrated. I wanted to punch the glass. I didn't know what was going on. I was so lost. But I think that those type of things can help people a long way and really make an impact. And that's what I'm about. And it's not about me. And I've had a couple families I'm fortunate enough to help so far. And I just want to continue doing it.
You hear a lot about single mothers. Do you feel like there needs to be that support for fathers mm-hmm. as well? Do you feel like they're left out of the conversation sometimes?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that it's tough. It's a thin line, you know. But that's why I create the foundation to not be a father's rights organization and something that was going to kind of be demeaning to women. So that's why my focus is single moms as well, and helping those without fathers in their lives so we can kind of step in and be that mentorship, so.
That's dope.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
How's your daughter doing?
Appreciate it. She's doing great. I'll see her in Orlando. We're going to Orlando. Mm-hmm. I'll see her there. Her grandma lives in Tampa, so they're gonna make the drive up. But yeah, she's just nice, sweet. I got a progress report today, so I'm pretty proud about that.
It was
good. The teacher said that she's very attentive, playful. She's nice. She loves outside and dancing. Like, her thing is music. Oh. So hopefully she's like a singer or something, Ariana Grande or something.
Yeah. We have covered so much. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
I think that's it, unless you guys got something for me.
I think we're good right now. That was great.
Thank you so much for all your perspective about growing up, what you want in the league, what it's like now for you, and what you want to do with your big heart in the future.
Of course.
We
appreciate
really appreciate
it. Thank you all.
Thank you guys for tuning into this episode of Run and Plays. Logan Murdoch, Harry Burke, Glenn Robinson. We'll see you on the next episode.